Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 160, recorded on September 12th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me as usual is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, and I've missed your voice, so it's nice to hear you again.
I've missed your voice too, Jeff.
Aw.
Aw. Adam's here too, Adam Christensen from the Mac Cast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, I'm just getting angry right off the bat for the show.
Okay, cool.
Because I went to in Reader to check my feeds, and there's a freaking video ad in the Apple Insider feed, like in Reader.
Interesting.
And it's just like looping. It's a ConocoPhillips ad.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Freaking video ads in my RSS feed.
I didn't know what to do that. All right, so the show hasn't been...
Hugs, Adam.
Hugs, yes.
Yeah, I'm okay.
It's been a while, but we're back, and if I sound slightly different, it's because...
I'm puberty.
Yes. And by that, Jeff means I'm on my mobile setup, and by mobile setup, I mean I just crammed all my equipment in my duffel bag and took it with me down to Florida because I'm here for more NASA stuff. I just can't get enough. But we have a lot of cool Apple stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
And I feel like I usually like to bury the lead. I like to talk about the stuff that happens at the end of the keynote and then work in reverse order, usually.
Yeah, you want to do that this time.
Do I want to do that?
Yeah, because Apple buried the lead or you know.
Yeah,
actually front-loaded the keynote.
Yeah, with stuff that we already knew about.
Which they kind of had to. I think, because otherwise they would have shown all the really cool stuff that they were going to include in the iPhone 5 when they were showing off the iPod Touch.
Yeah, so
they had to show it off. So by the time you get to the iPod Touch, it's like, oh yeah, so they're doing stuff like the iPhone.
Okay, so you want to start with the iPod Nano? It's totally, it's completely re-nanoed, according to Apple.
Isn't it interesting how Apple just cannot come up with a form factor for the Nano that they want to stick with?
Yeah, they can't make up their minds at all on this. And, so it's pretty cool looking now.
I think that's partially a marketing plan, by the way, or a sales plan, because then they know I've got to buy every new one because the new one doesn't look, function, or act like the old one. So it's really a whole different device. So I have a nice little stack of Nanos, like a little collection of each design.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it already, it's mostly aluminum. It looks like the, two generations ago?
It looks like the iPod Nano from two generations ago, and the iPod Touch got jiggy with it and had a kid.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, because, okay, so it's, they're... They come in many different colors, as Apple likes to do, and it has a multi-touch screen as the Nano has had. However, now it has a home button. I don't know if it's a button or if it's, is it a touch thing or is it actual press? I don't know.
I think it's an actual physical button.
Okay. Well, yeah, it actually has a home button, which is nice. So it's not full iOS, although we haven't really confirmed. I'm guessing it's just a multi-touch, the Nano OS. Because there are no third-party apps.
It's the iPhone OS.
Is it? It looks like...
I said that wrong. The iPod OS.
Right.
There you go.
That they've always had.
Yeah.
They've always had a separate iPod OS.
Yeah, not the iPod Classic OS, but the iPod OS.
I think all of those are based on the same...
Code base.
That's been my... thought. Maybe I'm totally wrong on that.
Well, I mean, either way, it functions fairly similarly to iOS in that you have multiple pages. The icons are completely rounded. They're circles, but
I don't like them. Yeah. They look like the ones that they use for the international symbols on iTunes or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the feeling with that was probably because they wanted to differentiate enough between the iOS and this iPod OS. So that's probably why they have the, you know what, that's, I just realized the reason, if you look at the home button on the Nano, it's a circular center, not a rounded rectangle center. And that's because the rounded rectangle center had always implied going back to the home screen where all those little rounded rectangles are. And so that's why
that's circular. Very subtle.
Yeah.
The little details.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's all about the little details.
But it's a very fancy looking device. They has a sleep wake on the bottom, or on the top rather. It uses the new Thunderclap? Lightning?
Lightning.
Did you call it Thunderclap?
Chichuga. Oh, sorry.
I'm probably too young to understand what you're talking about.
You saw Cars, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't really like Cars, but we shouldn't even start that discussion.
Thunder and lightning, you know.
Okay.
Got Lightning McQueen, cha-cow, and then Chick Hicks, cha-chuga.
Okay.
Bring in the thunder.
Okay. I don't really remember that still, but, you know, whatever.
Well, you know, you got the Pixar Apple tie-in. Like,
No. I get it. It's cool.
Hey, Titanic was just added to iTunes, by the way, just in case anybody was wondering.
So if anybody wants to get weepy with Adam tonight, you know what's going on.
Sorry, I just launched iTunes and that came up.
That's cool. I think it's 16:9 aspect ratio. You can play videos on it. It looks very nice. It has Bluetooth now. I don't think it had Bluetooth before. Did it?
Right. This is the first Nano with Bluetooth.
That's very good. That's very handy. It has radio. I believe the previous one had radio. Is that correct?
Yes.
FM. It comes with...
Sorry, I was going to say it's a bummer it didn't have Wi-Fi because then you could do the whole AirPlay thing. But
I was kind of thinking it would, but yeah, I guess not.
Probably too much power draw.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
And almost the entire body is metal.
Yeah, they just have a little antenna window at the bottom for the FM. And I guess the Bluetooth as well.
I thought the FM antenna was the headphone cord.
Oh, yeah, it might be.
That's right. It always has been.
Okay, you might be
right about that. The headphone cord.
Okay, so the next thing we should talk about, iTunes. There's a new iTunes coming out.
Yeah. Right, but not till October.
Okay.
Wait a minute, though. Can I ask about that? Because I just had a software update pop up just right now, and it says iTunes 10.7.
Is that the new version?
Okay, so the deal is iTunes 10.7 is a compatibility update for iOS 6.
Okay.
Because iOS 6 comes out a couple weeks before iTunes 11 is available. So that's really all iTunes 10.7 is, just iOS 6 compatibility. So you'll get all the new interface stuff and all the things they showed off in iTunes today. You'll get that in October.
Okay, but they pushed an update out today for iTunes.
Yes.
Okay. I was a little worried that it might be a weird thing because I'm on the I'm on iOS developer program. So
no, and actually the fact that it's showing up in software update now is nice because for most of the day, the only way you could get it was by going to the iTunes page on Apple's website and downloading it manually.
Mm. So the new iTunes, what version is it? iTunes 11?
It'll be iTunes 11.
Okay, and it has a totally new user interface.
I'm getting it now.
Okay, 11 or 10.7?
No, I'm getting that.
Oh, you're understanding.
The version difference. I was confused.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been working today. I'm sorry.
I understand. I've been flying. I couldn't math earlier, so it's surprising.
All right. So iTunes 11.
Yeah. So I haven't looked too much at screenshots because I've been traveling most of the day, but it looked to me from what I saw that they've pretty much gotten rid of the sidebar on the left. Is that correct?
Oh, you know, I hadn't even noticed that.
I think that they either got rid of the sidebar on the left, or it's something that they kind of, it comes and goes. But I hope it'll be a lot faster, primarily. I guess that's the biggest gripe that we have with iTunes. It's not so much the UI. The UI has been pretty iconic throughout the time that iTunes has existed and really has shaped a lot of the other applications and has worked very well. And so I hope that they haven't gotten it too minimal with it, but I do hope that it's a lot faster and less buggy than it has
been.
That
would be nice. Yeah.
Are there any other big features with iTunes that we're missing other than the new UI?
The cloud stuff.
Yeah, the cloud stuff. That's really important.
Okay.
So start a song or a podcast or a video or an audiobook on any of your devices, and your location will be synchronized across all your devices. So you can start somewhere and then pick up somewhere else. And you don't have to try and figure out where it was that you were in the song or the video or whatever.
Oh, so it has kind of the Seamless, you remember Seamless app?
Yes, it's like that.
Okay. Yeah, so Seamless got Sherlocked.
Yeah, Seamless got Sherlocked. Apple Sherlocked their own, what's it called? The Party Mix feature, where you can see what's playing next and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like is gone in iTunes 11, but now it has a feature where you can see what's going to play next anyhow.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of wondering when they were going to start getting rid of those features that nobody uses.
Yeah.
Right.
like the iTunes DJ. All right. So
and that's what it was, iTunes DJ.
Am I wrong in believing that now, since I have iTunes Match and all my stuff's up in the cloud, that I could just like wipe all my local music and just stream everything?
Yeah, if you want to not have a local copy, sure, I think so. I think you can do that right now if you have iTunes Match.
That's true.
Yeah. In iOS 6, I don't know if we talked about it yet, but in iOS 6, it's been confirmed that... unlike in iOS 5, you can actually truly stream your iTunes Match content in iOS 6, whereas in iOS 5, it's sort of you're downloading it and playing it as it downloads. So I've actually done it where I pull up a 2-hour long mix that's been uploaded to iTunes Match, and I start playing it, and it starts playing much faster than it does currently, and I jump halfway through, so an hour into it, and it picks up within maybe a second or two. So that'll be very nice. I'm very excited about that.
Did you talk about the mini player? The new mini player?
Yeah, there's a new mini player. What's cool about the mini player?
I like the look of it, and then plus it has a little search built right into it now.
So you hit the button and it expands, and you can say I want to.
I'm assuming a little search. I haven't seen the visualization, but I'm guessing a little search box would slide out over where the, or slide down or something to that effect. But
some sliding.
That's what I'm assuming too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you can also add items to playlists and stuff too from the mini player, something to that effect.
Yeah. So this Sherlock's several third-party iTunes add-ons, because there have been several companies that have done the whole mini player interfacing for iTunes.
Yeah. So there's a new iPod Touch.
Can we go back real quick to, because we skipped over something that I wanted to talk about with the Nano.
Definitely.
To me, other than the black one,
they look like ass.
Yeah. And did we mention the physical volume rockers also? I think we might have skipped over that.
We didn't, and I thought to maybe talk about it, but yeah, they look really cool.
I don't like the white on the colors. Like,
no, it doesn't look good.
Looks no. like some sort of 15-year-old girl's iPod or something.
Which,
I don't
which
know.
Which is, it's okay for a 15-year-old girl. But the only color I actually like on the new Nanos, it's that gunmetal slate, whatever they're calling it.
What about the the white?
I like
looks
black.
Good. The, I think the Sorry, white and the what? Black both look good. Or the silver and the black.
Yeah. Yeah, the silver looks fine. But, I mean, the rest of them, what's with the little white bezel? I don't know. It doesn't look good against the colors, in my opinion. I think they could have done a better job with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe they couldn't get the plastics to match. I mean, they could have used matching plastic or...
Well, it's not plastic.
Or
it's
maybe they...
Complimentary.
Maybe they, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think it was a style decision.
Yeah.
I think the people at Apple really thought that the white face on all the colors looked best.
Looks like it's a cosmetics case or something. I don't know how to describe it, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
I guess the silver one looks okay. The only one that I really enjoy the color on is that black slate, whatever it is. But the silver one would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And same pricing, right? $149 for the 16 gig.
Cool. Right.
Cool.
Sorry. Nano. What are we talking about now?
The
Shuffle.
Touch. Was there an update to the Shuffle?
Colors.
Just colors.
Okay.
So it matches the colors. Nano and, gotcha. And the Touch.
All right.
Interestingly, that still has the click wheel, and I'm okay with that. I guess it's just not as much white. I don't know.
It's all right.
Yeah, well, we're already conditioned to the white click wheel thing. So it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so the iPod Touch now has a 4-inch diagonal screen, so it's taller. It's 1136 by 640.
Which
retina.
Means retina.
It's retina. It has an A5. It has an A5 chip, dual core.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been
nice.
Significantly upgraded.
It has a 5-megapixel camera that does 1080p video.
Mm-hmm.
A with a flash.
Yep. And, I didn't even see that. And a microphone.
Yep. Yeah, microphone on the back side with the main camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, has the FaceTime camera been updated?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it was on the iPhone. I think it was on the iPod Touch also.
I'm not seeing it on this page here, but... it also has a...
Yes, well, it's the 720... Does the current one 720p HD, 1.2 megapixel?
No.
30 frames a second?
So that's better.
No. Because the old bigger. One was VGA, pretty much.
Yep. So it same one.
So lots better.
Yes, sorry, Bob. I think the EyeSight camera is the same one that was on the 4S, right? Pretty much the same spec: 5-element lens, hybrid IR filter, 2.4 aperture.
The rear one you're talking about.
Yeah, the rear one.
Was the 4S? Was that an 8-megapixel? I think that was.
Yes.
Okay. So this
it's
is five.
The 4 then. Sorry, I'm confusing my 4 and my 4S.
Yeah. It happens.
5-megapixel one was the same as the 4, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it also has, very interesting, a little a wristband clip.
I think that's a really smart move on Apple's part.
For the gamers?
For the gamers and for the let's call them the tween audience.
Sure, yeah.
The tween market that will love to have this for gaming, and it'll be their primary photo camera. It's going to go everywhere with them. And I know when I was in that age bracket, I had no muscle control. So if there's something in my hand, it would fly out. So
yeah.
Put this little strap on there and you're going to have far fewer iPod Touch broken screens than before.
It's the loop is what they're calling it. And I think, parents will appreciate this as well.
Yeah.
When you're handing your device off to your kid to let him play a game.
Yeah, so
you're
it
like,
comes...
Put this on.
And don't take it off until you put it down.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just thinking when I saw this, I had visions of the Nintendo Wii controllers, kids playing games with that, just like on the iPod. And it does come with the loop as well.
Yes, how does really smart shipping it with it.
Yeah.
How does that thing attach? Does anybody determine that?
Yeah.
That button looks like it's flush to me. But yeah, it
you
looks
push
like
the
slide.
Button and it pops up. So it's flush when you're not using it.
Okay. So it is spring loaded. That was confirmed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So and then you hook it on there.
Do you notice the camera lens sticks out a little bit from the back?
I did. That's weird.
It's weird, except that the camera, since it's probably the exact same camera that was in the iPhone 4, which is a little bit thicker. And if they went with the same camera that's in the iPhone 5, it probably would have been flush because that's a thinner camera.
Yep. Hmm. Or if they...
I mean, they made this thing super thin. It's thinner, right? Is it thinner?
Yeah,
too?
Yes. Totally. Yeah. It's almost as thin as the Nano.
Crazy.
And it comes in colors. Did we mention the colors?
We hadn't got that far yet.
Only five, though, right? Not the same eight.
Blue, black, silver, red, green. And it comes with new earbuds, too. So
all of the iPods come with new earbuds now.
Yep.
All but they're called EarPods.
Oh, yeah. They're called EarPods. I love that.
It's awesome. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, you understand just how ominous that is.
Really? Why? Or is it too much to explain?
Okay. So the Cybermen used EarPods. They put them into humans' ears to control them. And so it was a brain control device that the Cybermen used when they're working on taking over Earth.
Oh.
And the Shuffle doesn't get the EarPods, by the way. So we got to, just for those people who want to get technical about all iPods, pretty sure they don't.
Shuffle's not cool enough.
All right. So the one photo that I haven't been able to find anywhere is the front surface of the black Touch. Is it a black surface or is it white? Because I know all the other iPod Touches, it's a white front.
Yeah, I can't see that either. Have you?
I'm assuming it's black, but I don't know.
If you click buy, can you see it? If you click buy an iPod Touch? If you're going to buy the black one, you ought to be able to see what it looks like.
One would think.
You'd assume that it's black.
It's got to be. I mean, yeah. I think it's got to be black. I mean, considering that they took even the time to make the little loop button black instead of silver.
Yeah, I thought that was neat that they're doing the black anodization.
I mean, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but they
wanted
to.
It would have been perfectly fine if it was silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have looked fine as silver.
Yeah. Did you find it, Jeff?
I haven't found a picture of the black front yet.
Hmm. Well, you should keep looking. We'll talk about the earbuds.
Maybe from the hands-on, somebody caught one.
Oh, you know, Dave did his whole hands-on gallery for us at the event.
Oh, it is black. I found one.
You did?
Found one.
Okay.
Go to the built-in apps page. On the iPod page and scroll down to the Siri section, which we need to mention that too.
Oh, it has Siri now.
Yes.
Yay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, Siri is very cool. What, Adam, you were talking to me via Siri earlier.
I've been doing all my texting with Siri and it freaking rocks because it's so much faster than typing.
Oh yeah, I'd imagine so.
You know, I've been doing most of mine that way too.
So is that when you're driving or just in general?
I'm starting to do it just in general. And if I'm in some place where it would look weird, I just use the, you know, hold the phone to your ear to activate Siri feature.
Yeah.
And just do it that way so people just think I'm talking on the phone.
Cool.
So I don't look like a crazy person.
So you don't look like a pizza phoner.
What's up with people doing that?
I hate that. It's so, people do that all the time now.
That's so annoying.
What's a pizza phoner?
When you hold your phone like a piece of pizza.
Oh, yeah, I hate that. Well, here we have hands-free laws, and I have to try and convince, you know, people, like, okay, hands-free does not mean holding the phone away from your face and driving with one hand.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
That's smart.
We live in a world full of stupid.
I know. So the ear pods are very interesting. We saw a leak of these a couple weeks ago, and we weren't entirely sure if they were legit or not. It turns out they are. And Apple even, they did so much work on this that they decided to make a video. And you know that when they make a video of something, it means they're serious. So what they did was they digitally scanned like thousands of people's ears in order to find a general shape for people's ears in order to craft these. And are they a little bit squishy, or are they hard plastic?
I don't know.
I don't think they're squishy.
They're not squishy.
They don't look squishy. Okay.
Yeah, they don't look squishy at all.
Well, they have. What can you bring up the specs on those earbuds? They have quite a few vent ports.
Yes. Yeah, they have two vent ports. One, excuse me, on the back of the piece that fits in your ear, and one on the shaft that holds the cord.
Yeah.
There's actually, and there's three because there's the little slot on the top edge too. Right?
Not
really. There's the one for your ear, you know, the main speaker port that goes into your ear canal, and then there's one on the back.
Yeah.
So is
and
it
then
two?
The little slot, right? Or am I missing that?
No, you're right.
I think it might be that there are two vents and two separate speaker holes. It looks like, are you talking about the one on the inner part of the
you're right. Okay, so it looks like the two speaker holes.
I gotta go back and watch the video. They explain,
and then there's
all of those,
and
the
then
video.
There's a small slot on the back of the bulb part of the ear pod.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two little slots on the shaft coming off the pod where the cord comes in.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, unless, do you have any more specifics on what kind, are there like two little drivers in there?
I don't know if it's two drivers, but they're using two materials in the driver.
Right.
Where
right.
Most earbuds, Apple says, are using a single material. So by using two, they increase the dynamic range.
Right.
By adding these extra slots on the outside, it allows more airflow, which enhances the bass.
Yeah, and they actually I lost my train of thought. They're selling them for $30, which is significantly.
They're available right now, right?
Yeah, they're significantly less than. Like high-end earbuds, which these are kind of claiming to be higher-end earbuds. We'll see how high-end they really
are.
Yeah,
that's just the really sad thing. Yeah, exactly. You want to know the really sad thing is Apple's going to have spent all this time and effort and stuff on this, and they're going to suck. That's my fear.
Like the iPod Hi-Fi.
Apple has just never been very, with a few exceptions, because I don't want to get called out on this, but with a few exceptions, Apple has never been very good at the whole accessory thing. Sorry. They just haven't.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Apple started doing in-ear earbuds?
Oh, yeah. Don't they still do that?
Oh, they probably not anymore, at least as of today.
Like silently discontinued.
Yeah, but I remember when they came out, I was like, oh my God, I can finally get good earbuds for this. And because at the time, all the other products I could find were crap. So I went ahead and bought a pair. And those were like $40 at the time.
Of the in-ears?
Yeah. And then maybe even more. I don't remember how much I spent, but it was more than I felt I should have paid. And the only way to get them to fit was to put them in my ears upside down. So the cords were sticking like antennas.
Oh man, I've been there. Some headphones just do not fit right.
Yeah, and it was just so frustrating.
I just noticed that the Apple logos on the iPod Nanos and the iPod Touch are like the same color as the.
Oh yeah, they're not silver.
As whatever the iPod is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That's cool.
But back on the accessories thing, you almost feel like, oh, isn't that cute? Apple's trying to make accessories again. Well, you keep trying, Apple. Eventually you'll get right.
Adam,
good
I think
for you.
I think that you're probably missing the point here is that the big deal, I think, with these earbuds is that, of course, they've always included earbuds with the iPods and the iPhone. And for a lot of people, they just use the earbuds that come with their iPod or with their iPhone. I see tons of people talking on their earbuds. And
I do. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I don't have a separate set.
I think the big issue with those earbuds all along, even more important than sound quality, is how well they fit in your ear. And that's primarily the reason why I stopped using them. And they say that they even tested them. They had a lot of people running, doing a lot of cardio, and even jumping up and down and shaking their head back and forth, trying to whip these things out of their ears. And I think that even more important than the sound quality is the fact that supposedly they stay in your ear very well.
let's get our hands on some pairs and see what we think.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say it works. But
yeah, it'd be great if they did.
It's not going to surprise me if we see a bunch of reviews that say they don't work, they don't fit everybody's ears.
I'm sure they don't.
A pair of good form-fitting ones, you know, the moldy ones that everybody gets that are good. Not moldy like mold, of course, but the ones that form-fit into
some
your ear.
Dank earbuds.
Like squishy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I will be cautiously optimistic because Apple, I think, so far has failed across the board on earbuds.
Oh yeah, totally. And you know, they initially included the little foamy pads, and
that
those,
helped.
That totally helped. And you know, initially you think, oh, okay, this is so you don't get your ear gunk on there, or so they feel a little better. No, it's just really so you could add a spacer to make it fit in there a little better. And then after a while they stopped including those little foam pads, and I think that primarily the issue has always been getting them to fit in there very well and also look pretty good. And you know what, I think for the most part a lot of people had no problem with those earbuds staying in their ears. I know a lot of people who just throw them in their ears and they don't really care too much. I mean, if it was something that was such a big deal for a lot of people, you wouldn't see as many of them. You would see a lot of third party. And of course there are a lot of third party, and I'm one of those people who does not use the earbuds. You know, the last two iPhones that I've gotten, the earbuds, they just stay in the box. I don't even unwrap them.
Yeah. I got to make one prediction on these things.
Yeah.
Because I just want it thrown out there because it's going to happen. And then I can say, I told you.
Okay.
So one of the big things in the video I noticed was they were talking about how the main sort of funnel where the sound goes is designed. You know, they spent all this time figuring out the shape so that that would be designed to go right, you know, directly in, focus the sound right into your ear canal.
Yeah, good blast into the ear.
So I guarantee we're going to have some group, probably some sort of parents group, calling for like a recall or a boycott or like for Apple to change it because these things are dangerous to people's hearings.
You know, they've had to deal with that in the past. I'm guessing
but
that
they're going to come after these directly. Watch. I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah.
We're gonna see the story.
I hate to say you're right.
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, you're probably right. And it's not of any fault of Apple's.
No.
It's because people just like to get irritated.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. People just like to make a fuss. And this is a great thing to make a fuss about.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of cool techniques that in software and in hardware where you can actually tweak the various frequencies of the sound that's coming out so you don't get too much highs, or you can apply certain algorithms so you're not blasting the highs when you...
Apple has volume limits in the parental controls in all their devices.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to say. Hey, we have volume controls. Take your kids' iPods away from them. Put a password on it and change it for them.
Yep.
And they would just say, hey, be parents.
All right. We spent too much time on earbuds, I think.
Yeah. Hey, it was a fun conversation. So what's the pricing on the iPod Touch now?
Same. And they're selling the older one for $99, is it?
Oh.
No, it's more than that.
$199?
Oh, crap. I can't remember.
I don't have
the press release in front of me.
I'll just bring
$199. $199.
Apple's webpage. I'm usually faster with these facts, but for the listeners' sake, I'm running this entire show off of my iPhone internet, so I'm gonna.
Yeah. So the fourth generation one is available now for $199 for the 16 gig and $249 for the 32 gig, and then the new one is $299, starting at $299 for. Why can't I get to the buy page?
It's overrun.
Yeah, there's no buy button, that's why.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there it is. It's up at the top. No, but it goes to a page that says from $299.
Well, you have to configure. I guess it would be $299 for what's the smallest size? 32?
It doesn't say. It's what 30, I'm telling 30, 60. You. You go to the shopping page, it doesn't say that. It just says from $299. Learn more about the iPod All Touch. Right. Pre-order on the 14th.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have my notes in front of me from the they said in the presentation, but I of course don't have those in front of me, which
Jeff
I should.
All right, bringing it up right now. Okay, so the deal is, let's see, pricing and availability. Pre-orders for the iPod, the new iPod Touch, start September 14th. $299 for the 32, $399 for the 64 gig.
There you go.
The fourth generation iPod Touch is $199 for the 16 gig and $249 for the 32 gig.
So I got that part right.
Yes.
$299 for the 32 and the first gen?
No. $249.
Oh, $249. Okay, so $50 less. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
$50 less than the 16 gig fifth gen. Yes. Or 32 gig sixth gen. Sorry, correct. Right.
There you go.
Yeah, because it's 16 and 32 gig on the fourth gen. 32 and 64 on the fifth gen.
Ah, for Pete's sake, it's the freaking Performa all over again. Too many models,
Steve Jobs,
too many price points.
Was alive, but this wouldn't be happening. It's like Gil Emilio all over again.
Oy vey. All right. So we're gonna.
Did we miss anything on the iPod Touch? Hey, the rocker things on the sides are the same color too. By the way,
that's nice.
The volume rockers, and they're separate. You get just like was predicted.
A pink rocker.
A pink rocker? Well, that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's my Queen cover band name.
All right. So is there anything else? Or are we ready to move on to the big boy here?
Big event. Well, are we going to do iOS 6 after?
Oh, well, we'll pepper it in.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll just do whatever we end up talking about. Flying by the seat of our pants.
Nice.
Or not pants.
Welcome to my life.
In Jeff's case. All right. So iPhone 5, it was announced. It was the first thing that they talked about. And it was what we were all assuming would happen. In fact, if it didn't happen, I don't know what would have
happened. Was there any prediction that wasn't right?
No.
NFC, but I don't think anybody really ever believed there was going to be NFC.
It was very short-lived on the NFC. It was... pretty much, is that NFC? And everybody said, no, it's not. So we got a white and a black model. It's a 4-inch Retina display, just like the new iPod Touch. It's 1136 by 640, as we've predicted in the past, as we've seen from all the rumors. The headphone jack has moved to the bottom. We have a bigger speaker and a bigger microphone, and we have the lightning port, which is an all-digital port. It's, I guess, 9 pins, if you include the outer ground. They said it was reversible.
They said 8.
It's 8
right?
pins.
Okay, 8, yeah. Eight pins with the ground.
Eight.
Yeah. So I guess, well, everybody was saying 9 before in the rumors, and they were saying, well, once the connector came out, everybody was saying, well, the 9th quote unquote pin is the ground. It's the outer portion of it. But didn't Apple, was I imagining this when Apple said that it was reversible, that you could flip it either way?
It is reversible.
Excellent. That's perfect. That was one of the most annoying things, having to deal with. So I have some third party cables that have you can usually tell by the little logo or the little glyph on the front, which way is which. And on some cables I have, that there's the same logo on both sides. So I have to flip it back and forth to try and get it, which is totally stupid.
That is just the cable. That's that cable company just messing with people. Like, hey, we're going to put it on both sides. Watch these people that could be all confused
forever. Yeah. So the screen is much taller, and
not much taller.
Well, not much taller. It's tall enough to accommodate another row of icons.
176 pixels, right? Am I doing my math right? 176 pixels. Is that what it is?
That sounds about right.
Bueller.
But you're right. It's tall enough to add an extra row of icons on the home screen.
Yeah. And so the speculation, of course, has been that since we're just moving a little taller, the software should be able to accommodate it, because as we see currently, if we're on a call and we jump out into another application, it squishes down. And that's something that...
It just gives us a black border around apps that aren't updated to take advantage of the screen.
Exactly. So developers will need to update their apps, but as they've said during the keynote, it's almost trivial what they have to do in most cases. I would say in some cases, certainly there it will be a little more difficult for developers to change their UIs. But then again, I think that's probably in situations where there's a drastic departure from the standard UI conventions. But they did have some games up there, some game developers showing off their games, and it shouldn't be too big of a challenge for most developers.
You know, my feeling is if it's going to be that much of a hassle and it's going to make it really that difficult for a developer to update their interface, don't. And I'm not saying that to be facetious, just really don't. Because
it'll work just the fine.
The OS will accommodate that, and it'll just give you a black border around the app. And so it'll look like you have the old size screen and a bigger bezel.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, no big.
The reality, too, is... I bet you some developers could get away with just disproportionately stretching their UI.
Yeah, totally.
And most people wouldn't even notice because it is so few pixels, like the extra percentage, divided between both directions. Your stuff's not going to look that stretched.
Yeah, you're not going to need to really... you're just going to need to reposition things. You're not going to need to really increase the DPI of artwork or change the actual dimensions of custom art in your UI for the most part.
Right. But I'm saying even if you just let software like stretch things, you probably could get away with it. If it bothered you to have the letterboxing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if some developers just opt to in software say, go ahead and let it stretch. I don't know if that's an option or not, but.
And by stretch, you mean actually,
yeah, like stretch, you would on your TV. I know so many people who watch 4x3 content on their HD TVs completely stretched and don't notice it. How many people have people like this in their lives?
No, yeah, I do.
I will not watch TV at those people's houses. In some cases, I no longer speak to them.
Yeah, I totally
but you
know
what, but you know what I'm talking about. And that's an extreme stretching. Here, it's going to be barely noticeable, I bet. I think most developers are going to either go the letterbox or develop it. I'm just throwing that out there. I wouldn't surprise me if some, choose to just let it kind of stretch in the one direction.
You know, I'm guessing that's probably not an option that they can choose natively, but...
You could code it, I would think.
You could, but I think that it would be just as easy if you have a standard, like, table view kind of app to just say, hey, throw the navigation bar higher and pull the tab bar lower.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So what else do we have here? New iPhone. LTE.
What do you want? It's the design is thinner, lighter.
Yeah.
The LTE, which I need to get some sort of network engineer to like explain all of these different models and bandwidths, and it's all very confusing. And when I was looking it over, it looked to me like if you want to have an LTE phone that you're going to take outside of the US, that you don't want to be on AT&T, but then there's language even on Apple's webpage that makes it seem like that might not even work.
No, I think that you've got it backwards. Wouldn't you want to have
No.
If you go to the spec page, there's actually two different GSM models and one CDMA model.
Oh, there are two different GSM. So one international, yes, and one US.
There's one, yes, US and Canada, and one rest of the world.
Okay.
And I'm assuming you can't CDMA. Get the rest of the world one in the US.
Correct.
And
I don't think the rest of the world one works correctly in the US.
And it wouldn't, because the GSM that's supported in the US seems to be LTE, and they call them bands. This is why I need an engineer. So some sort of cellular engineer explain this to me. But the GSM model that they're listing for the US, the AT&T model, they're listing as having LTE bands 4 and 17. The rest of the world seems to be using bands 1, 3, and 5. And the CDMA version of the new iPhone on Verizon supports LTE bands 1, 3, 5, 13, and 25. AT&T is on 4 and 17, so they don't support 1, 3, and 5. So I'm assuming that means it wouldn't work on LTE outside of the US.
That's correct. Okay. And see, this is the big lie about LTE we've been given, which is, LTE is universal. Once you have it, it doesn't matter what network you go to, it just works. And the reality is, no.
And so then it would seem like, oh, I want the CDMA version that's LTE bands and it supports 1, 3, and 5, and then I can go to, you know, Europe and I can be on bands 1, 3, and 5 of LTE, right? But of course, there's a little asterisk on the tech specs page, and if you go down to the bottom and you look at the little asterisk, I'm scrolling down right now, says, you have to go to the details on LTE support page, and then you scroll to the bottom of that one, and it says, item number 3, band support does not guarantee support on all LTE networks running on the same bands.
Oh, that's,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
So if I have bands 1, 3, and 5 on my phone and it's a Verizon phone, does that mean it doesn't support bands 1, 3, and 5 internationally, which are on the same frequencies? So why would it not support the same ones? Is that a carrier thing, potentially?
Could be. But yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, if we have anybody out there who...
So this thing knows. Is all still jacked. I think Jeff's original point from earlier is correct. It's just like, we were sold a bag of goods on LTE, like it's going to solve all these problems. No, it sounds like it's same old problems. You can't just get one phone and use it wherever you want.
But it's fast.
But it's fast.
Theoretically, what is it? Theoretical 100 megabit down? Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. What are the networks around the U.S. currently pumping out? What is the an average typical speed that we would see? Bueller?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Okay.
Now, it is accurate, though, what Verizon has been saying, that their 4G network is much, much larger than AT&T's at this point, right?
Yes. But I don't think that's as big a deal as Verizon makes it out to be. Well, okay, no, let me rephrase that. It's a trade-off. So you can get LTE in more places on Verizon, but you have a more graceful fallback to higher speeds on AT&T.
Oh, good point.
Okay.
Because with Verizon, point. It's LTE or super slow.
Not super slow, it's their 3G, which is not as fast as AT&T's HSPA Plus, right?
Right. And then Yeah. And it doesn't drop gracefully between different protocols. And then on AT&T, they have all these different levels that stair step, and it can drop gracefully backwards and jump up too, depending on what's available.
And, see, it's just more confusing me with the carrier stuff because I don't know what I want to do. I was thinking about switching to Verizon because I'm kind of fed up with some of the AT&T BS. Specifically, I'm pissed that they're still not allowing tethering included with the data plans, which they do allow on Verizon. I'm PO'd that they're not, even though I'd never probably never use it, I'm just the principle of not allowing FaceTime over 3G unless I get their stupid family shared data plan is annoying.
Yeah, what is the deal with that? I don't fully understand what the shared this, data thing is.
This is AT&T whining because they agreed to do, I think they're still pissed and reeling from the fact that they agreed to do unlimited data and they've got all these people on their network that are grandfathered in on the unlimited data stuff and they're just still whiny about it. And so now they're just like punishing their customers by nickel and diming them every turn. They're trying to make up for the data revenue losses every little turn that they can. That's just my personal theory. I know that's a bit extreme, I'm saying, but it just feels like that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the
sour grapes.
So the my share plan, that's something where you have to, I mean, it sounds like a plan where you would share your data with either family members or just whoever.
Everybody on your family cellular phone plan, you get one giant pool of data, just like you would have a giant pool with the minutes.
Uh-huh.
And everybody dips out of that pool. So if you have one person in the family who uses only a little bit of data and one person that uses lots of data, it's coming out of the same shared pool. But if you price it out versus just buying the individual plans, it's not better.
Yeah, for a handful of people, it's better. For the majority of people, it's not.
You end up with less data and you're paying more in most cases.
Yeah, that's irritating.
But the way they're going to sell it to people is like, oh, you want to do, FaceTime with your family, you got to have this.
Yeah. That's a good angle.
Hooray. Yeah.
So, okay. In addition to...
So I'm getting tired of all that stuff, but now, hearing what Jeff... So I was seriously considering switching, but I forgot about the whole CDMA thing. And so if I'm not on LTE, luckily I think there's LTE here in San Diego, but I mean, just again, the fallback in CDMA still has the you can't do voice and data problem. Right?
Oh, does it? I thought they solved that.
No, that's a technological limitation. And as I recall, LTE is not being used for voice on any carriers. It's just for data. So your voice calls still go through what I'll now call the older network protocols. So you're still doing traditional GSM or CDMA for the voice part.
Okay, so are you then able to tether and speak on the phone then? So if you have LTE?
We don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, see, and that would be a problem. I've talked to people who do that. You know, they like their Verizon plan because they can do the tethering thing, but the minute they get a phone call, their internet connection goes down for their computer.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking of switching from AT&T as well. However, I don't know if you heard about this. If you get the new iPhone, if you get an LTE-capable phone on AT&T, they up your unlimited data... throttling limit.
Yeah, it goes up from 3 gig to 5 gig.
Yeah.
Oh, so they are going to let me keep my unlimited plan.
They will, and they're going to increase your limit, your throttle threshold from 3 to 5 gig. And I hit that 3 gig threshold every month, and they don't ever notify me, which I'm really irritated about.
With the LTE plans, does that mean, sorry, because I haven't had a chance to look at the data plans yet, but so if everybody already knows this, but are they upping the data on the Data Plus plan then to 5 gigs? Or are those people still locked at three gigs?
I haven't looked.
I haven't checked either.
if you're on LTE. Because I thought that was another thing. Like all the LTE plans, I think I thought we're kind of getting more data or moving to more data.
You would expect, I suppose, if you have the ability to download faster, you would probably download more.
And so if your data cap stays lower, then your cell service provider can charge you for overages much sooner.
Right, exactly. So we'll just have to see on that one, unless one of you guys can pull that up.
I don't even know if they've announced. That's what I was asking. Did AT&T or anybody announce what their...
They were kind of vague about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to some more hardware stuff on the iPhone, some more happy iPhone 5 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a brand new chip on it. It's the A5 chip. Or the A6. I said A5.
A6.
I do that every time. A6, it's twice as fast. It's two times faster CPU, two times faster GPU than the A5, or is it compared to the A5 or the A5?
Compared to the A5. Well, that's what Apple's saying.
Okay.
Just A5.
Fair enough. So that's awesome.
And of course, they don't say, you know, if it's quad core or dual core or any of that fun stuff, right?
I don't think so, but I believe that's a quad core chip.
Okay. We're going to get all those fun details like in a couple
later.
Weeks when people
when
start
it's all
tearing
torn apart.
Yeah. I want to know how much RAM this thing has, you know, all that good stuff. It has... Three.
That's right. They still don't tell us how much RAM, right?
No.
What is that? Why is that a secret?
Because it doesn't matter to normal people.
Yeah, I think for Apple, it's not about the specs. It's about the overall experience. And that's
and
why
totally agree
relatively
with that, but,
limited on, yeah.
Yeah.
But us tech nerds don't like that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, they gave a little bit to the tech nerds. So they told us it's the A6 processor.
Well, I think that they would have to say something about the processor either way. Because
no, they wouldn't. All they have to do is say it's twice as fast.
And so, but the funny thing is they'll say if it's dual core or quad core, if that information's already been made available to the public. Because the iPod Touch, it specifically says dual core A5.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they do say that on some stuff. I don't know why. They don't with this.
Because we already know. See, it's already been leaked out that's a dual core chip. So everybody already knows it. So I guess they're okay with saying it.
They talked about it at the initial launch. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that it had been torn down or that people knew about it.
Did they? I forget so quickly.
I think when they had the A4 chip, I think they said, oh, this is dual core.
Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally with you. It really, to the average person, doesn't matter. It's, you know, X percentage faster or twice as fast in this case, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm really excited about that because I'm on an iPhone 4, so it's going to be like four times faster for me.
Ooh.
So that's exciting. There are three microphones now. So you got the main microphone at the bottom that you pizza phone into. Is the microphone, they moved the microphone from the top, the noise canceling one from the top to the front, or from the, I guess, to the back.
I thought the one on the back was
that's the
cameras.
EyeSight microphone, yeah.
Oh, that's the EyeSight microphone. Okay, so the one on the front is for noise cancellation. Is there one on the front? Where is that microphone? Where's that darn microphone? Is it on the top?
They have a graphic showing where the microphones are.
I think it's
or at
on
least they showed it on the in the slides during the keynote.
Where's it? Tip top, maybe? I don't know.
One on the front, one on the back, and one on the bottom. Yeah, so it's on the front. Not sure where. I can't see it. But yeah,
that's
so
just
they...
how small it is.
Yeah. So they the one on the bottom is for... voice, but the and the one in the back you said is for
the
EyeSight
recording camera.
Cool. And then you've got noise cancellation, but they've also had, so it's noise cancellation for you, and now they have noise cancellation for the audio coming to you. So it kind of does noise cancellation on the
yeah. They said they had something in the earpiece area, right? Is that
yeah,
where it is?
But that's also something that the carriers have to enable. So it's there, But until the carriers add in whatever they need to do to make it work right, you don't have that.
Yeah, so it's a higher quality audio for the voice call.
Yeah, they kind of glossed over that a little bit during the the presentation.
They sure did. But so the front camera is now, is that 1080p?
Front camera 720p.
So it's just like the iPod Touch, correct?
Right. These are reasons why Apple had to show this first, because otherwise we would have been saying, oh, so the iPhone has all the stuff from the iPod Touch.
Right.
And what Apple wants everyone to say is, the iPod Touch got updated, so it's finally on par with the iPhone.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the same FaceTime HD, the 1.2 megapixel with the 720p video.
Which is awesome, because that previous FaceTime camera sucked.
Yeah. The rear cameras, though, is the big one, the EyeSight camera.
Yeah, so it's still 8 megapixel, but they've improved the optics in it. They have better low light mode, better noise reduction, and I guess they have, what is it, a sapphire crystal cover on the lens?
Yep.
Now, that's the same material they're using on the front, on the face, right? Or is it just over the camera lens?
I think it's just over the camera lens. They showed the video where they had the little robot making all those little
cutting out the
lens covers, little tiny
cool
buttons.
Yeah. Oh, so in addition, okay, do we want to talk about the how they take really high resolution photos of all the parts to really match all the stuff well with
the 725 inlays that get compared to match the phone so that they get inserted in the right phone. Did you see that robot that they showed for that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was like amazing. So the fit and finish is going to be just like crazy. They said they measure it in like nanometers.
Yeah, they're taking two 29 megapixel, I think it's 29 megapixel images of each frame. And then the computer looks at those images and finds out of the 725 surface inlays, which one is the closest match. That's insane.
That's pretty awesome. So this is for the stuff on the back. Is that correct? That would make sense.
Yeah, the little glass part that goes above on the top and bottom above the metal, the back, so that it fits exactly into the hole. So it basically scans the hole, looks at it, and then the robot has 725 pre-cut inlays sitting next to it. It does the math out analysis, and I guess they're probably on some sort of numbered grid, and it goes, oh, the one in row, 108, section 56 is the perfect fit for this iPhone.
That's amazing.
And the robot goes over and picks it up and then drops it in.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was. There were some photos of the... in some of the leaks, where the inlays did not look like it matched up that well, and I thought, oh man, that sucks. If it's gonna not match up that well in the final version, it's gonna not look that great. And I'm sure those were some of the rejected parts.
This is probably. I mean, this has got to be like a one of their manufacturing things, like when they designed this thing, like this probably took them a long time to figure out, and there's a lot of highly specialized technology that probably went into developing this system just for building iPhones. How jazzed was Ive about the bevel edge?
Oh my god, that was like that was techno porn for him.
The mirror finish with the diamond,
but that's the stuff he lives for.
Old edge, yeah.
Oh yeah.
So the edge, and what's cool is it's now flush, right? You got the front face and the back face finally flush with the device.
No, the front isn't. The front isn't perfectly flush. It's slightly raised, but the back is totally flush.
See, and I think that slightly raised is just a glass lip, because they've done that on other iPhone models where the edge of the glass sticks up just a fraction, so that if you set your phone face down, the main surface of the glass shouldn't be touching whatever it is you set it on.
Oh, so that's part of the rubber gasket?
No, that's glass. When they cut the piece, that's part of how they cut it.
Oh.
And actually, I'm playing with my iPhone 4S right now, and I remember my iPhone 4 before that. Yeah, that it has that tiny, tiny little glass edge that sticks up just a little bit beyond the rest of the surface.
Yeah, more so on the back for mine than on the front, but yeah. Yep. I totally see that. Cool. So there have been, did you say that Dave Hamilton was at this event today?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Lucky him. A lot of the reports coming from people who actually got to hold this thing, and, you know, we've been talking about going back and forth on whether just elongating, making this screen taller would be the best decision, or if they should make it wider or not, what that would seem like, what would that feel like, or would it just seem like a too tall iPhone? But a lot of the reports are that, holy cow, this is amazing, right? The taller screen,
yeah,
the taller screen is just, it's just awesome. I've looked at some of the stuff where people have the thing in their hands and even though it's only taller, it looks bigger all around in a very good way. People are saying that the thinness combined with the taller height and the fact that it is lighter than the iPhone 4S, but I think by, what do they say, 20%? Something like that?
That sounds about right.
And even though it's a very slight change, a lot of people are saying, wow, this just feels great in the hand, and it feels so much lighter.
You know, seeing the leaked images, I was pretty sure that when the iPhone 5 came out, that I wouldn't consider upgrading.
Yeah.
Then they show it today. I'm looking at everything. And not only do I want to buy one today, I want to date it.
You want to take it out for a nice meal.
I do.
Yeah, it looks really good. Especially the black one. The black one's very cool because, again, they did the black anodization on the aluminum.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want the black iPhone 5, and I want it right now.
Yeah.
Well, you won't have long to wait.
Yeah, so we didn't even talk about this. Friday is when you can pre-order it, and then the next Friday is when they're being shipped.
Right.
So get your tents ready if you're going to camp out.
I still got to figure out. See, I just got to figure out which one I'm going to buy. I was fully ready and prepared to buy a completely unlocked one and use Straight Talk, but forgot that, Straight Talk's not going to have LTE at all.
See, this is easy for me. I want 32 gig black on AT&T.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to
get a 64 again.
I'm thinking
for sure.
So I have 32 on the iPhone 4, and so far iTunes Match has been a complete disappointment in terms of streaming to that. However,
really?
Oh yeah, it's awful. It's just not worth even using. I have it off. The experience is terrible. It's too slow on my phone. Streaming doesn't work very well at all. I mean, it doesn't stream at all. It takes forever. I completely hate it on my phone. I just turn it off. There's no reason.
I've been relatively. That's funny because I think you were way more jazzed about it than I was.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm kind of sold on it because I've been using it on my my iPhone and my iPad now for a while. But there is a delay. I mean, no doubt that there's a slight delay when it's switching between music. That's a little bit annoying. But the fact that I don't have I'm kind of forgiving it because I don't have to have all that music loaded on my device. So. I don't know why they can't preemptively, like even when I'm on shuffle, decide. I mean, it can pre-decide which track it wants to play and then start downloading in the background. It seems like it doesn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But like I said, in iOS 6, it looks like it's better. So I'm going to wait a little while. I'm going to use iOS 6 on my iPhone 4 and see how I feel about it, and I'll use that to base my decision on whether I should get the 32 or the 64. And I do use
a
lot
of... How about iOS 6? Sorry, just because you mentioned using it on your 4. How about that being backward compatible all the way to the 3GS?
That is nice.
That's really
surprise
impressive.
Everybody.
I was a little surprised, but also not, because Apple has done a really good job of keeping their older phones in the upgrade cycle longer than you would expect.
Sorry, Michael, I totally cut you off. So what you were going to say about...
I was just saying that I use a lot more Spotify. I haven't been swapping around the music on my phone as much as I used to, because it's so much easier to. I have a core set of music that I keep on my phone, and then I have Spotify for all the stuff where I mean, a lot of times I'm listening to stuff on Spotify that I already have. I just don't have it on my phone, and it's just so much easier, so much faster than syncing or going through iTunes Match. So...
Do we miss any specs on the hardware? Any critical specs?
I don't think so. The one thing that I wanted to get your input on was how you guys feel about the white iPhone.
I don't like it. But then again, I've never been a white iPhone fan.
Okay. So maybe you guys aren't the ones to talk to, but...
Well, and this is what it comes down to. Remember how I said I never liked the two-tone, and I still am not a really... big fan of this two-tone design, but what I'm hoping, again, and I still am reserving judgment till I see these things in person,
yeah,
but there's just too much contrast between the silver and the white. It just seems too off, and I'm hoping that the black anodized blends a little bit more. I've seen certain photos at certain angles where it's almost looks almost seamless, like you can barely tell, and then I've seen other shots where it's very jarring and separate. And I like the black anodized edge of the unibody frame versus the steel one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I guess it's not really steel, aluminum. So
yeah, for me the just like you said, the contrast between the silver and the white on the back, that really throws me off. But like you said, there have been some photos where I've seen the white and it looks really good, and I've seen some photos of the white where it looks just really strange. So I'm gonna have to see it in person as well.
Yep. iOS 6, do we want to touch on some things there? There really wasn't much new.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the panorama view.
That's the big new thing in iOS.
Oh, right.
And is that iOS 6 or is that hardware dependent?
That's iOS 6 for the 4S and the 5. So you'll be
able
to...
What about the iPod Touch?
And for the new iPod Touch.
Yep.
New iPod Touch. Okay.
Yeah, so you'll be able to... the panorama view has been in the software. They've been working on it, but it's been disabled, as we've talked about in the past. But it's fully operational in the new version. And so it's just you open up the camera and then you can take panoramas. You turn on the panorama mode, and I guess it's you hit the button once and it starts in the mode, and then do you have to press any buttons as you move across, or do you just move across and it takes the photos as you need to, as it needs
you
to?
You just move across and it does its thing. Awesome. And it has that little bar that shows up on the screen and shows you where you are in your panorama.
Cool.
See, I've just been using the Dermander thing, and I've been very happy with that. The little app.
I don't know what that is.
I think I've done as a pick. Have I not done that as a pick? Because if not, I'll do it as a pick this week.
I thought you did, but maybe you should do it as a...
I don't remember. Maybe you did.
It looks... I mean, it sounds like it works very similarly, although, you know, all of these panorama apps, in my opinion, where the proof is how it handles the stitching. It's not so much the process of taking the photos.
Is how well it does the stitching.
Yeah, how well does it handle the blending and the edges and stuff like that? And Apple's making some pretty big claims on this one about the technology it's using. And of course, the photos that they show online and in the keynote look flawless, right? But will they come out that way for the average person in practice? And that's usually where these things fall down. It's like you can show a great demo image, but in real world scenarios, how does it perform? So
right.
I'm optimistically hopeful.
Yep. All right. So do we have anything else to talk about? Because I gotta get to bed. Because I gotta get up.
You gotta get to
crack
bed.
Of dawn. I gotta go to NASA. I got to go to Kennedy Space Center at like 4 in the morning or something.
Right now.
Pretty much. I need to go to sleep for 5 hours and wake up. But
nope.
Nothing else? Picks. Okay.
Are we going to do picks? Or
we'll do picks. That. Do you have picks?
I do.
All right. Why don't you...
Am I starting?
Take it away.
I'm going to do... and I want to look it up. A video game called Bastion. Have you guys seen this?
I don't think so.
So I guess it was originally out like on Xbox 360 and IGN, and it just came available for, I think, relatively recently for iOS for the iPad. And it's sort of one of these like Zelda RPG kind of style games, and kind of shot in the third person. And basically I'm still trying to get into it. I just started playing with it. But what I really love about it is all the artwork is like hand painted stuff, and it's just gorgeous. The soundtrack is amazing. It's got this sort of voiceover of this guy that sort of walks you through all of the lands and almost does like a play by play kind of commentary as you're walking around. And basically there's this world and something's happened to it. It's fallen apart, and you go and your job is to kind of rebuild it, and you get different weapons and you can upgrade those weapons. As you know, it's very traditional in those sorts of respects, but just for me, it's all about with this one, the visuals, and the gameplay is a lot of fun. It works really well with touch. They've done a good job, I think, translating the touch interface. And it's like $4.99, I want to say, if it was on sale. I can't remember. I'm trying to pull it up here. But I guess hugely popular on the platforms and just come to iOS. It's published by Warner Brothers Interactive, I think. And it's beautiful. I'm really enjoying playing it.
How is it spelled?
Bastion.
B-A-S-T-I-O-N. Oh, O-N. Okay. B-A-S-T-I-O-N?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
You're not finding it on the App Store?
No. Huh? So it's $4.99?
I think so.
Okay.
Let me look it up.
All right.
Jeff will do his pick or whatever, and I'll pull it up for you.
All right. So my pick is, I'm picking a weather app this time.
All right.
And because I kind of have this thing for weather apps. This one's called Weather 2X. And so it does all the usual stuff, all the forecasting, current conditions, and gives you humidity, pressure, all that stuff. You've got multiple cities, just as you would expect in any of the weather apps. It will show you the current time for the city that you're looking at, and then it has, and it also uses iCloud to sync all of your cities and preferences between your iPhone and your iPad. So that's really cool. So you don't have to set it up on multiple devices. Set it up once, and then just install it on all your devices, and it auto-synchronizes everything for you.
Cool. Does it have radar?
Actually, I don't believe it has radar. I've never actually gone looking for radar in it.
You know, that's one of my things for weather apps, is if it doesn't have radar, then I just don't care.
Okay, so then this one's not for you. But for someone that wants to have a really nice-looking app with a really nice interface that gives you a simple overview of weather conditions, but then you can, in essence, drill down deeper and get more data, including weekly forecasts and stuff. It's really nice.
Cool. So it's called Weather 2X.
Yes.
And it's $2.
That's right. Yep. Cool.
Adam, have you figured out what your...
Yep, it's $4.99. I just sent you the link.
Okay. All right, I'll bring it up then. All right, so my pick is YouTube.
Ooh, yeah.
So, and I don't know that we actually covered this yet, but in iOS 6, they've removed the YouTube app. So Apple is no longer in charge of creating and maintaining the YouTube app in iOS at all. And of course, in iOS 5, it'll continue to be there. But in iOS 6, they removed it. And when I initially heard about this, I thought, oh, man, this is just terrible. But then I realized, no, it's not terrible, because the version that they have on iOS lacks so many features that YouTube has been progressively rolling out. So, in fact, this is actually a very good thing. So now Google has the ability to push out the app, and it has actually pushed it out. They pushed it out yesterday, so just in time for the iOS 6 release, and it's pretty good. You know, they're using the weird Facebook side menu thing that a lot of apps have been using, and I think inappropriately, but I would say in this case they did a pretty good job with the interface. You can get to all of your subscriptions. You can check out your history and your favorites and your playlists and your watch later. That, for me, was really important, because I throw a lot of things in my watch later, and I can't pull up watch later on my Apple TV or on my iPhone, which was very irritating. So now you can do that with the YouTube app. And it is fully native. It's not a web app, as I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't be, and it's very good, and it's free. So go check it out. Just called YouTube. It's in the App Store. Have you guys
checked? Does it actually play videos?
Yeah.
That was my problem with Apple's one, or the one that was built in. It never seemed to work.
You know, they. So. I think they're actually saying on their release notes that it plays 4 times more videos than the built-in YouTube app does.
That's yeah, not and saying I didn't, much, but that's
it wasn't even about finding videos. It was just that it just didn't. They would just not play.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It would just say, "No, this doesn't work. Sorry."
Yeah. All so right. I downloaded it right away. It looks really nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right.
So. With that, of course, you can find our iPhone picks in the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. And if you're a cellular engineer, you can help us out a little more with figuring out the differences and what we can and can't do with the various iPhone 5 models. Drop us a line, feedback@wehavecommunicators.com, or even better, it'd be really cool if we got an audio comment so we could play it in the show. That's the best for us. So send that feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Or you can call us. It's 202-642-6667. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. And he's at jgamet on Twitter.
As always, it's awesome being here.
As always, it's awesome having you, Jeff. You know, when I started on the call, I thought, oh, it's just so nice to have both these guys on the line again and doing the show again. I'm sorry it's been so long.
We don't apologize for that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you don't have any reason to apologize. It's all me.
Yeah. People don't want to hear us apologize. They just want us to do the show.
Yeah. We're just going to keep doing it.
Cool.
So Adam Christensen's at the MacCast. He's MacCast.com and at MacCast on Twitter. And
yes, sir, Bob.
The member version of the show is member.maccast.com.
Yep.
Yep. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Michael Johnston. So I might be tweeting some space shuttle stuff this week. So
that'll be cool.
Check that out. Yeah, Endeavor is... So the reason I'm down here is Endeavor is, just like Discovery earlier this year, it's moving to its new home at the California Science Museum. And so it's going to be, they're going to roll it out tomorrow night and put it on the 747 and fly it out on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember. I'll be here either way. So that'll be really cool. With that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod, a phone, an iPod, an iPod, an iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?